ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden delivering a fiery State of the Union speech before a joint session of Congress last night, talking about, among other things, attacking Houthi military sites to stop them from attacking commercial shipping in the Red Sea.
I've ordered strikes to degrade the Houthi capability and defend U.S. forces in the region. As Commander-in-Chief, I will not hesitate to direct further measures to protect our people and our military personnel.
The president touting his accomplishments and outlining his goals for the future. With more on that, here's ABC News political director Rick Klein with some takeaways.
One of the concerns that Joe Biden has is just getting his base energized, getting people to believe again in his candidacy. And I think this speech, this State of the Union, is going to go a long way toward convincing them that he is the man and he is right to be running again.
The February unemployment number is just out this morning. Expectations around 190,000 jobs would be created. 275,000 were created. The unemployment rate holds steady at 3.9%. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's U.S. representatives are split along party lines after last night's State of the Union address. Democrat Mark Pocan tells Spectrum News he liked what he heard about the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act and the Inflation Reduction Act. Republican Brian Stiles says he was listening to hear what the president had to say about the cost of living. One Wisconsin voter says she's more interested in policy than politics. Diane Valencia of Racine says she wanted to hear President Biden deliver a straight talk about the State of the Union last night.
I expect a responsible person in a political position to give me facts and explain to me, as a nation, what are we supposed to do to make things possible.
Valencia says she was interested in hearing what the bipartisan infrastructure law is doing for her community. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A new program aimed to help homeless youth in the eastern Minnesota area is underway. According to a WDIO report, the United Way of Carlton and Pine County area has introduced a program to match volunteer hosts with homeless kids who need a safe and stable environment. The organization also has a new resource center where kids can eat, shower, and get a go bag to carry their belongings. Officials say at least 5% of the students in Carlton County are considered homeless, and this program is crucial for them. A Barron County man has been sentenced on charges of possession of child pornography and child sexual exploitation. 25-year-old Derek Saluski of Osceola was sentenced to 9 years in prison and 3 years of extended supervision after being found guilty of the charges on December 14th. Saluski was arrested after law enforcement officials seized his phone. A search of the phone showed Saluski had thousands of photos and videos of child sexual assault material and child pornography. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Almaz Show.
Green Bay is a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Almaz Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Wisconsin heads to Purdue. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team wraps up their regular season schedule with a tough matchup against number 3 ranked Purdue in Indiana. Tip-off time Sunday at 12:30. The Badgers finally with a win last night, 78-66, over Rutgers at the Kohl Center. Head coach Greg Gard after the game.
It wasn't a lot of set calls, and that's what you have to do against that type of defense is, you know, we run a little ball screen motion, but most time we were coming scattered.
The Badgers women's hockey team in Minneapolis to face Minnesota in the final face-off tourney. The Badgers' Kirsten Sims named the WCHA Player of the Year. Baseball, Brewers beating the White Sox 8-2. So what's the key to success in the major leagues?
Don't make it about you. Always make it about the other person or make it about other people. Don't make it about you. Don't let your mind go there. Your job, your pay, your next promotion, your next job. Just keep your head down. That would be my advice. Be passionate.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be cloudy with a few sprinkles this morning, gradually becoming partly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today, 45, with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, 25. Tomorrow, sunny, a little cooler, 41 for a high. Sunday, 47. By Monday, partly cloudy with a high back to 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 22.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now, I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop right on.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. You said it yourself. It's Friday. Hard not to be doing good.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Let's ask my co-host. It's Friday. Does it really matter to you?
It doesn't really matter to me. Friday, Saturday. You know, when you reach, actually, I do have things I do that are different during the week and on the weekday. One of the things I do is this show, right?
Right.
So I'm very tuned into Tuesdays and Fridays. So I did wake up this morning early knowing it was today.
You know, when we, Sandy, as young men and during the week prior to retirement, the days mattered. You had a full bank schedule, you especially, a calendar that was probably full, and we just went about nonstop.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know, it was sort of like probably like the gerbil in the cage on that wheel, you know, where you run, the faster you run, the you don't move further, you just run faster.
Yeah, you know, did you ever think much about retirement when you were, you know,
that's kind of frightened. The concept frightened me. Well, no, when I was young, retirement was something that would happen when I was very old. And when I came to the edge of retirement, it was kind of a frightening prospect. Like, what the hell am I going to do? I went through a brief 1 hour, 2 hour phase where I thought I'd buy an RV and drive all over the country. And I ended up going to an RV exposition at State Fair Park, walking around, looking at RVs, figuring out that all I'd do is plug some hose into a spigot at a concrete parking lot. And I thought, that's not for me. So I didn't do the RV thing on retirement. I did find stuff to do, but you know, retirement is a jarring experience if you've been working all your life.
You know, Sandy, I, because I'm kind of, you know, and you know me, I'm a servant in my community. I'm always busy and probably busier now than I was even when I worked. And I work 7 days a week sometimes.
Yeah,
I'm quite a bit.
I'm keeping myself good and busy. And the good thing in retirement is actually you can choose the things you want to do to keep yourself busy, which is an entirely different phenomena than when you're working.
Yeah, I've got some buddies, they retired. And they, you know, once they retired, that's what they did. They retired. They retired to the couch.
Yeah.
And I just never could. That would never be me, right? I mean, life is too full, and staying active and busy keeps your mind.
Well, and it's a great opportunity to give. You know, I think when you retire, if you make a mistake, if you don't give yourself the opportunity to get the wonderful sensation of doing something for others.
Yes.
Because during your whole working life, most people are basically focused on themselves and their families and getting what they need. And when you retire, you can actually give. And I found that I wish that I could have been doing what I've done in retirement during my working life.
Well, I will say this to you, Sandy. Did I say good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show? Did I say that? I don't know, man. I don't remember. Anyway, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show.
Yeah, good morning. Okay. We got that done.
So I guess what I want to say, Sandy, is we are so fortunate. I know people who can't retire.
Yes.
Who've never retired. And my heart goes out to them. Let me just say this. I don't live a luxurious life. And the pension that I receive is a lifeline for me. And it makes my retirement possible. I didn't save a lot of money. So I'm not a guy who can live off of my retirement savings. But my pension keeps me above being in poverty and able to live a middle-class lifestyle. And so many of us who at the time maybe didn't realize the value of pensions, Sandy, and those kinds of things. And so when they took pensions away, my generation probably was the last generation to receive pensions because 401ks came in
right
at the end of my working years. And so I know so many people who are still my age and older who are still working because they don't have a pension that's there every month.
Yeah, plenty of people who are self-employed, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
My dad was basically in a small firm lawyer guy and self-employed, and he worked the day he died, you know? And so, And people, I don't think, understand the value of pensions, but, you know, you have to have a mountain of money in a 401k to be the equivalent of the pension that you might have gotten. And it's very surprising for people, I think, to find out how much money they need to have in a 401k in order to accomplish a comfortable retirement. But it's a fair mountain of money. And one of the fallacies of the 401k was that and people were persuaded that they would have their own nest egg and they'd have their own pile of money. You've talked about that.
Yeah, right.
When you got the opportunities, like, oh boy, you know, I'm going to have my money. But you know, to have a retirement that would pay you $40,000 a year, for instance, or $50,000 a year, that's a mountain of money. If you retire at 65 and your age expectancy at that point is 84, that's about 20 years of retirement at $50,000 a year. That's $10 million. Okay.
Well,
now, you don't have to have $10 million to do it, but you've got to have millions of dollars to do it.
Well, you know, Sandy, the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows of the stock market impacts and affects those savings as well,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can't do it without putting it in the stock market. Then you've got to be savvy about how much you keep in stocks. And so I'm just saying it's a complex kind of a problem that we handed to the people when we said, here, you can have 401ks. You can't have pensions, but you can have a 401k. And incidentally, we, the corporation you work for, will contribute funding to it and blah, blah, blah. And so people should understand that, let's say they have $5 million in a 401k. When they take the money out of it, they're going to pay a tax on it.
Oh, yes.
So they've got a 25% tax on that. So they really only have $4 million in there, not five. And the $4 million spread out over 20 years, see? The math.
But, Sandy, those Americans who are fortunate enough to have $4 million in their 401k is a very small,
very small
percentage.
Very small. And $4 million sounds like a lot, except if you do the math and figure out what that gets you to retirement, you know, it's not a ton of money.
So let's try to take a moment to, and you look at seniors and elderly people who we talk about the young people who can't make it in the society economically. Excuse me, far too many seniors are in bad shape and struggling in their latter years of their lives.
Well, and these are seniors who are baby boomers in this terribly wealthy generation, right? So, you know, the baby boomer generation with the seniors and the seniors we have who are struggling, understand that that's a better profile than every generation that will follow us, because the generations that follow us don't have the same accumulated wealth and aren't likely to get it. Even if there is this wealth transfer we talked about earlier this week, it's not going to be the palliative. It's not going to solve this.
So let me ask you, Sandy, I would say that we're not going back to pensions, right? It's safe to say that you don't see any scenario.
Well, there has been a tendency in the world of the shortage of labor for there to be sweeteners thrown into employment arrangements. Pensions require long-term employment at one place.
Right.
And that's the problem. The current profile of a working career does not involve staying at one place for a long time, which means that the pension, whatever you've got, needs to travel on your back like a turtle, like a turtle shell, wherever you go. And that mitigates the capacity of corporations to provide pensions as a meaningful bit of incentive to stay.
So, Sandy, then that leads me to ask you this question. The more we have people who are not going to be on a same job long enough to accrue enough in any pension system, my 32 years at one job, that's kind of the only way you're going to get that is if they're in government, a police officer.
Right.
Working for the government in some way, shape, or form, but private entities, chances of that are very slim.
Private pensions have dwindled, and you know, the problem was defined benefits, where the pension, where you would be promised X dollars per year in the future, and when the baby boomer generation became so big and they began to retire, or they were projected to begin to retire, there was a realization that it's really hard to fund a pension that can cover that nut. And so corporations backed off into 401ks. It was kind of enthusiastically received by a lot of workers because, like I said, they thought, oh, a nest egg is something I have. It'll be a pile of money that I control. And I think what they failed to perceive was how big that pile of money needed to be.
So I'm interested in those of you in the listening audience. 844-967-2789 is the number. Do you have a pension? I'm curious to what percentage of our listening audience is fortunate enough to have a pension, either they themselves or their spouse, or I'm sure in most instances their parents had pensions because it was a different time.
Right. I mean, you know, our parents were more likely to have a pension than our grandchildren will.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. It's Friday. It's my co-host, Sandy Williams. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my heart in San Francisco. High on a hill, it calls to me.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Sandy, you know, Tony Bennett didn't have to worry about a pension.
No, you know, Tony Bennett, I was just thinking about as he was singing, he and Frank Sinatra both, I think I think their real claim to fame was their ability to enunciate. My father always used to say, enunciate your words. And both Bennett and Sinatra make the lyrics very clear when they sing, and they've got a real style.
No question whatsoever. You know, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And before we took that short break, we were talking about pensions and the importance of it and just how prevalent pensions were 25 years ago.
Right.
Right. And now they're rare in the private sector. They're still there in the public sector. And so if the public sector, Sandy, understands the value and the importance of it, the private sector.
Well, you know, the public sector has always been a little bit like, I would accuse the Catholic Church of promising heaven and you can suffer today for the glories of tomorrow. And that's a little bit the way the public process of employment has always been. You aren't going to earn as much today, but we're going to take care of tomorrow for you. And that was a promise that was relatively easy and cheap for municipalities and governments to keep until the baby boom generation began to retire in droves. And all of a sudden, those pension plans became hard to fund. So here we have Milwaukee, for instance, with a big pension deficit, you know. So
Milwaukee
pensions,
County.
Yeah, Milwaukee thing. County. I mean, pensions are great, fixed, and they're great for the employee
when you're young.
And when you're young and have the promise of a nice retirement. One of the other things about government jobs is most of them have a tenure after which you're eligible. So I don't know what it is, 20 years on the police force, you can retire, be eligible for your pension, you can move on to another job. I think there are probably numbers of people who have been in government employment who have qualified for their pension and have qualified for another pension as well.
No question. Let's go to Mark from the SAC. Hey, good morning to you, Mark. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Yeah, good morning, guys. I retired from the state of Wisconsin. I have, you know, of course, have a pension that which took a little bit of a hit when, you know, thanks to Scotty Walker. But I can remember within the past few years, there's always been discussion because the Wisconsin Pension Fund is one of the best in the world. You know, one of the best managed and best funded in the world. I mean, it's completely funded, and that was one of the things that Walker attacked and broke the bargain that the state had made with the employees on what our contributions were based on an agreement made back in the 1980s when we took, you know, we didn't take raises, but we took, you know, the state would pay our pension contributions. And Walker, you know, changed that. He broke the broke the promise the state had made. But there was also talk a few years back now, and I think it kind of died back again, that to establish a private a pension fund paralleling the state pension plan for the private in the private sector, because it's worked very well in the state of Wisconsin. It's one of the best the pension for the people, the employees of the state of Wisconsin, is one of the best in the world, the best on the planet. And that if, and I don't know how quite it could work, the portability from going to employer and employer, but to establish something like that for the private sector, paralleling what our state of Wisconsin pension fund does, if that's even possible, it would mean a lot to people in their retirement, because if it provides me with a fairly comfortable retirement and along with Social Security, that I'm able to keep going on.
Yeah,
Well said, Mark.
The state of Wisconsin.
Thank you very much for the call.
The State of Wisconsin Investment Board, SWIB, as the businessmen tend to call it, business people, is a very well-run fund, and it is a very big fund because it combines the retirement funds for all state employees and a variety of other public employees. So SWIB has the benefit of being one of the largest employment funds in the United States and has the muscle to very effectively invest the money. And so it's true. The State of Wisconsin Fund is very well invested. But, of course, pension funds still have this dynamic of needing to have a bunch of active workers to fund it while the retirees are receiving their money out of it. And so that's a balancing act.
So, Sandy, long term, for the future, there's got to be something else that's created to prevent Americans as they age who've worked. They've done everything that's been asked of them. They've worked 40 hours a week their entire lives. They haven't made a lot of money, but they've done what has been asked of them. And the fact that we should allow them to languish and have to go to food pantries is just not right. And I think our nation can do a better job of what they're doing to as people in the latter ages of their lives shouldn't have to go through that.
Well, that's one of the problems with the whole 401k movement and the notion back in the beginning of this century when there was talk about privatizing Social Security even, we have to help people. We can hand this obligation to people. We have to understand that everyone isn't sophisticated or everyone isn't prudent, okay?
Right.
And that their funds might not be adequate by the time they retire. And that's one of the disadvantages of having this whole privatized 401k system, because it's up to the people themselves to have the foresight to take care of themselves. And it's fine to sit on the sidelines and say, yeah, that's the market mechanism, and people just need to take care of themselves, and the government can't intervene on your behalf if you don't. But there's plenty of fine people without the wherewithal to have the knowledge about how to handle it who will end up at retirement without adequate money in their private retirement funds, and that's going to be a problem.
All right, 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you. We're going to talk about Joe Biden and the speech that he gave on yesterday. Up next, news, weather, and sports.
Above the blue, and windy sea, when I come home to you, San Francisco, your golden sun will shine.
Celebrate International Women's Day with me, Maggie Dawn, this Friday, joined by Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 until 4.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The mother of a missing toddler from Two Rivers now faces new child neglect charges. Katrina Bauer is now accused of leaving a six-year-old in a car for about an hour in below-freezing temperatures in February. Bauer is already charged with neglecting three-year-old Elijah Vu, who's been the subject of a two-and-a-half-week-long search. People who fell into bad eating habits during the pandemic are trying to do better. Bailey Holmquist is a registered dietitian who recommends cutting out processed proteins.
If we can get good grass-fed meat, pasture-raised eggs, wild-caught fish, so that we get the most nutrients out of those animals.
Holmquist says beans and peanut butter are good alternatives that cost less and are easier to find. March is National Nutrition Month. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Some Duluth residents are getting closer to having the lead pipes in their area replaced. According to a Northern News Now report, the Duluth City Council is looking to replace all of the lead pipes in the lower West Lincoln Park and Gary New Duluth neighborhoods. Those areas should receive about $3.5 million each to replace the lead pipes, and the project would bring safe drinking water to nearly 400 homes in the area. The city is still looking for other areas that need lead pipes replaced. A number of teachers at the Superior School District have been informed their positions are being eliminated. According to a Fox 21 report, potential layoffs was something employees had expected as the school district faces budget constraints. Superintendent of the Superior School District, Amy Starzecki, cited an end in COVID relief funds, state funding not keeping pace with inflation, and declining enrollment as the major causes behind the layoffs. In total, 25 teachers have been laid off amid the district's 2024-2025 budget deficit.
And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Can a dog be depressed when its owners break up? A new rom-com tentatively called Merv will explore the topic. Amazon MGM Studios have just announced they've signed Zooey Deschanel for the lead role of the Jessica Swale-directed film. I can't imagine how this will be entertaining, but the plot sees a couple break up and then reconcile awkwardly to take their pooch on a trip to sunny Florida to lift his spirits. Can you imagine being so depressed you don't want your belly scratched? Oh, and spoiler alert, it's the dog's fault. Taylor Swift is certainly nothing if not original. Not only does she write her own songs, she makes her own Pop-Tarts. Great way to save pennies. In fact, Pop-Tarts actually wants the recipe for Taylor's tarts. During the NFL season, Swift made a batch of her homemade sweets and gave them to the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line. In a related story, Kanye West says Beyonce's Pop-Tarts are better, even though she doesn't make them herself. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cloudy with a few sprinkles this morning, gradually becoming partly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today, 45, with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, 25. Tomorrow, sunny, a little cooler, 41 for a high. Sunday, 47 by Monday, partly cloudy with a high back to 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 23.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Georgia.
Georgia. Something about those strings, Sandy.
Yeah.
The whole day
through. Yeah, we were lucky, our generation. There were so many musical geniuses. I mean, Ray Charles, what a genius.
You know, and it wasn't just the people singing, Sandy. It was the orchestra behind them.
Yeah, the people who played guitar so tremendously well or whatever, you know. But, it's just kind of amazing. All these people were singer-songwriters, wrote spectacular songs, and were spectacular artists.
Well, you know, orchestras themselves and the beauty of the orchestras married to the singers, something successful, I mean, really turned out great.
Yeah.
844-967-2789 is the number. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, good morning to you, Tom.
Oh, good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government and not the corporations. We must get money out of politics to restore government back to we the people. I'll tell you what, Joe Biden knocked it out of the park last night.
Tom, go ahead, sir.
Well, he's stealing our thunder. Yeah. You know? We haven't started talking about this yet.
But go ahead, Tom. Go ahead.
I'm just saying he knocked it out of the park, not just with the way that he gave the speech, but the speech was full of policy. I knew right away when he started talking about FDR, I was like, finally someone talking about Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who saved this country. I was so happy with the back and forth, putting the Republicans on defense, and also the fact that he talked about facts, you know, and not just talked about talking points, which I'm sure we'll get here today somewhere about the border and this and that. But Joe Biden everything that has been wanting to be said, everything that's been wanting to be pushed back against, I hope everybody watches that speech. I hope we even get some people that are really, you know, really good people like Dave and Gary and some of these guys who are really great people, that they really start seeing what it is, who it is that is for the middle class and not for the billionaire class. Thank you guys so much. I'm so excited. Yep. I'm actually going out today to try to start canvassing now for Joe Biden and the Democrats, and so we can get the House and the Senate back.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. So, Sandy, we're there.
Yeah, you know, I don't stay up that late to watch the Bucks, but I decided I would stay up to watch that speech. And I'll have to confess that going into it, I was a little bit like the NASCAR automobile race fan who was thought he might be watching a wreck. That, you know, what I did, and it was sort of a fatalistic concern. But, yeah, I didn't. And Joe Biden was more, I saw someone who compared him to Give 'Em Hell Harry Truman. And I think that's what that speech was. It was sort of a Give 'Em Hell speech. But I did appreciate it. I thought that I agree with Tom that there was a lot of policy in it. It clearly was a campaign speech. And it gave you an idea of the ammunition that he has with respect to running against, for instance, Donald Trump. And he pointed a lot of those things out, and I thought effectively, and there was no car wreck. You know, it was he gave it solidly and performed well, and mainly I was pleased with his discussion. You know, he talked about the thing I care about most, child daycare, and spent some time on it, demonstrating, I think, that he understands and that the Democrats maybe do understand what Tom, Dick, and Mary need with respect to some of the things they need. He also talked about health care and making it more affordable. And those are two things that have a huge impact on the budget of Tom, Dick, and Mary. And it's one of the reasons why the middle class today has so much more trouble with a modest amount of inflation as compared to everyone else in the economy who doesn't. Because the middle class is living paycheck to paycheck, not because of inflation, but because of these benefits that are so terribly expensive.
You know, Sandy, the architects of the speech, and by the way, 844-967-2789 is the number. If you saw the speech, by all means, let us know this morning your thoughts about it. Be very interested in hearing. And if you didn't watch the speech, why did you not watch it? You know, Sandy, the speech was just that, a speech. The writers did a great job of writing it. I think there's no question whatsoever that you saw exactly what the Democrats' plans are, not just President Joe Biden, but their plans clearly, Sandy, focus on addressing the pain that many Americans feel in the society today, people who work every day. I think to say that, you know, Joe Biden has caused all this misery, it's Joe Biden's policies that make people struggle, and it's Joe Biden's policies that have caused the increase in the price of food. And, you know, as if the next guy is going to somehow come and fix that, you know, shrinkflation and all those different things, that's all on Joe Biden. I think when as I watched him and listened to the speech, it was what a lot of people have been wanting, and that's to push back on what people have been saying on the other side of this, and to hear Republicans say it was a partisan speech, as if the State of the Union is supposed to be something completely different. Well, he was supposed to be the great uniter. All he was doing was dividing. Well, Sandy, come on. Well, you know, what have we been dealing with all along? You can say what you will about Joe Biden and his plans and what he's attempted to do. But if you look at his policy, Sandy, since he's been president, it's been addressing issues that the average person has been struggling with. The Democrats have been working hard trying to address those issues. Senate has been trying to address those issues during his presidency. But they haven't been able to get it through a Congress that has been opposed to all those things.
Well, I think that the border bill was the most glaring example of a bipartisan effort. I mean, you know, it's as hard as it is in Washington to accomplish things on a bipartisan basis. I think the one thing that Joe Biden is an old-time politician who understands the levers of Congress. And he mentioned that he had signed 432 bills that involved bipartisan votes. I don't know, but I think that's probably kind of a significant accomplishment. And so, you know, it's true, I think, that I mean, today in politics, what people tend to do is accuse the other party of doing exactly what they do themselves. And, of course, the Republicans accusing the Democrats of giving a partisan speech is kind of a laughable accusation, because, you know, what's happened in Congress and what's happened in Washington has been partisanship for 25 years, ever since Karl Rove, actually. The line has been drawn, and the paralysis of Washington has been the result of constant partisanship. And I think, quite frankly, that particularly the border bill was an effort to bridge that, which was apparently deep-sixed by Donald Trump.
You know, Sandy, plenty Americans didn't watch it, weren't interested in it. Small percentage of Americans watched that. They're too busy just trying to make it. And so they don't see that as something of importance to them. And, you know,
well, I mean, the State of the Union speeches in the past have been a yawning affair, right?
Yeah.
You know, read a short paragraph, wait for the applause that's all scripted, and then your party stands up and applauds, and then they sit down, and then you read it again. This one seemed less like that. It was more dynamic, and I do think it was more of a of an entree to what the campaign is going to look like. And I was encouraged by that because hopefully the campaign will focus on issues, okay, issues that matter to Tom, Dick, and Mary. And that seemed to be the pulse of the speech.
Well, so the Republicans' response in many instances, and I looked at a lot of different things, and their response was he was attacking Donald Trump. Well, he didn't mention him by name, but he clearly was referring to Donald Trump, his policies, and where the government is going to head under Donald Trump's leadership. Did you garner any of that?
I thought that he was effective about pointing out that the State of the Union might be dependent upon who gets elected president. And I think he was trying to indicate that the vector of the nation's direction would be different depending upon who gets elected. And I think it was proper to point that out because, quite frankly, I think that's the issue for this next election is what could Donald Trump mean for this country and what would it do to the State of the Union? And I think that's the reason why people maybe ought to decide that could be the most important issue enough to bridge their concern about voting for Joe Biden.
All right, let's go to Gene from Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Gene. Thank you for the call. Did you see the speech?
Definitely, but you know what? I watch everyone for years because I really pay attention to our government live. And anyway, I almost didn't watch it, and I thought, oh, my God, I cannot, you know, because I watch the committee meetings, and I've watched what's going on in their government. I watch the voting and wait forever.
My God, Gene, you watch the committee meetings. Sandy, do we have some kind of an award we can give Gene? She watches the committee meetings.
Yeah, she does.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gene.
I get sick. My blood pressure goes up, and it's like, what in the devil am I punishing myself watching these idiots that are in the people with the R after their name? And listen, I've been an independent my entire life because I wanted to vote for the people, and they used to argue back and forth, but they've never did this kind of crap ever, ever, ever. And so I thought, I can't watch it. I can't watch Marjorie Taylor Greene. I can't watch Matt Gaetz. I can't watch these... all these people that shouldn't even be let into the Capitol. But I thought, oh, man, I got to watch it. Maybe it's the last one I'll ever watch. And I watched it, and I was so thankful that I watched it. I thought, there is a president for the times. I am so proud of that man to stand up there and call it like it is. When he was polite. If it would have been me, I would have been kicked out of the place. But he was so polite, and he was stating the facts, and he was pointing out why some things weren't getting done. And, I mean, and we've all watched, we've all heard these people. Like, you know, I hear older people saying, oh, the Republicans will never mess with pensions. Oh, yeah? Once they don't need your vote anymore with the gerrymandering, all the new election laws that they're trying to pass, wake up, folks. You know, it's like, oh, it was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And he has been fighting for us for years. I've watched Biden for years. He's always been for us, whereas when I've watched Trump, all he's talked about is me, 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 and what I can do for you, 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 you. And you wouldn't make it without me. And it's like, holy man. There's my president. There's the man that's going to lead America, and I hope people really pay attention. I didn't mean to go on and on, but tell you something. He was breath.
Hey, Gene, they need to use you to make a commercial. So thank you very much for that, Gene. 844-967-2789.
Just on the lighter side, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
We got to get Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, I mean, she in her red hat and her, yeah.
844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday with Sandy Williams.
Keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia, Georgia. I say just an old sweet song. Keeps Georgia on my mind.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, "I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life." And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night.
You know, there was only
and I think to myself,
there's only one voice ever.
Yeah, Satchmo is distinctive.
Yeah, there's never been another voice anywhere near Louis Armstrong.
Right.
The colors of the rainbow.
Yeah, I can just picture him. Handkerchief in hand, wiping his sweating brow, trumpet in the other hand. He was quite a performer.
Yeah, an orchestra right behind him. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas, that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we're asking the question, if you saw the State of the Union last night. And Sandy, you know, you asked me who was the guy who they
escorted out.
Yeah, well, his name was Steve Nicoy, 51, and he was the father of a United States Marine who was killed in the evacuation. Afghanistan.
Well, you know, what I was saying before the break, just to get back to, I was getting back to going to some levity. Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is obviously quite a character and one that the caucus, Republican caucus, doesn't know quite what to do with, you know, with her red MAGA hat and her red outfit on, looked clownish to me. And I was picturing her, quite frankly, with a red ball on her nose and thought that might be the perfect accoutrement to the rest of what was going on. I think that's the sorry thing, is that to make Congress into a spectacle is to denigrate the importance of what they do. And I don't think she realizes that that's what she's doing. But I think the spectacle that she makes is not redounding to her benefit or to the benefit of her cause.
You know, Sandy, you can also throw Bobart in there. And you know, they've added, they had Getz, and they got, so they brought these people into the Congress, and the people who voted for them, and you would think they'd see those people and say, they're representing us. That's not who I want representing me. And yet, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene is solidly in place. And can you imagine that there are some bright people in the House and in the Senate, some very bright people. And they have to have debates with people like that. Can you imagine what that must be like, Sandy?
Well, I just think it's bad for the process. And it's she is one of the people who prefers press attention to performance. and to actually accomplishing things. And I would guess that if you looked at how many bills she's been effectively able to pass, it's probably number zero, okay? And you know, I just think that it's a sorry state of affairs, but it's a reflection of our electorate as much as it is a reflection on them.
All right, let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Hi, good morning. What do I say? Well, for one thing, I have, if anybody wants to see it, I have it on my phone. I taped it. I was working with some other people. We had Reader Across Kenosha yesterday. We went and had 208 people reading books and giving books to schools yesterday. And I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning, the previous yesterday. And so I fell asleep and I felt so bad, but I had the foresight to tape it. So I if anybody wants to see it, I have it. But I think that what people miss about this country is that we have to give back. We have to encourage people to give back to society, because we, as older people, especially my age and your age, I'm as old as you are, we had the privilege of living in a society where there was growth, where there was dynamics, where there was patriotism, and that we worked towards a better country. And we went through the civil rights, women's rights, the Vietnam War. We tried to make this country better. And yes, do I have a pension? Obviously, yes, I do. And that when they took the pensions away from the people, they made this country just much more poorer, because now the older people, instead of giving time back to the younger people and helping them with their daycare and donating all their time, they don't have that because they have to work. But like I say, I'm privileged. I do have, and I feel that privilege. So I give back. I read to people. I go and help clean their homes. I do whatever it takes to make their life a better place.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it, Sandy.
Well, one thing she has said, I think, is rang a bell with me, and that is that Donald Trump has talked about how it is that he thinks only a chump doesn't try to avoid taxes to the extent that they can, and that only a fool would not try to take advantage of every tax advantage there could be, and which sort of suggests that, well, the object here is to pay small taxes, and that paying a tax is not a statement of patriotism. But I think it should be just turned upside down. I think that particularly the wealthy who have money, who have made it because of the economy and the society in which they live, ought to be pleased to pay a reasonable share of their money as taxes. And, you know, the notion that a 21 or 25% minimum tax is too much to pay strikes me as really a statement that these people aren't really the loyal patriots that they would otherwise claim to be, because a 25% bill for what they've had and what they've achieved in this country should be something that's realized with a smile. And yet it's the wealthy, the ones who can afford to buy good tax advice, who will find every way to get their taxes down. I think last night Biden, if he had his facts right, said that the billionaire average tax is 8.5%, which is hardly a statement of patriotism on their part.
I think very well said, Sandy. 844-967-2789 is the number. Sandy Williams is here, and on Fridays, as always, you can join us. You're tuned into
connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety.
Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. New numbers on employment show that the U.S. economy is not slowing down. ABC News.